You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday, March 21st. Joining us by phone now, Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Oh, good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners. Blessed Holy Week. We're in the Holy Week season, and it's all good, of course. Although I like to tell people, you know, every week is a Holy Week, you know, and we only celebrate the resurrection. Well, of course, now it's going to be this coming Sunday, but of course, that's one of the reasons, as you well know and your listeners do, why the Sabbath for many Christians was moved to Sunday morning. So, So it's all good. So, a blessed Holy Week to you and all your listeners.
Thank you to you as well. I'm sure a busy week filled with a lot of time in God's Word and reflecting on His good gifts this week for many of us.
That is true. And and then Bob Weiss comes on the radio and talks about some of the interesting, sometimes I don't even know if I'd call them weird, but it's things that are going on in bioethics. Let me just cover a few titles here, and then we can kind of pick and choose what would be germane to our discussion this morning. One is here in the United States now, and I will add that last Friday evening, I became a grandpa. My youngest daughter, Christina, and her husband gave birth to Violet Eliana, and she had to go into the NICU unit, the neonatal intensive care unit over at Mercy for till yesterday because her oxygen level and sugar levels were a bit low, and she's doing fine. She's home and doing well, and so studying some things in bioethics, I ran across an article in Medical Journal Ethics that talks about unilateral do not resuscitate orders in NICU units, where if it's a mom and a dad, and whoever basically has, I guess you might say, the authority with the child, and this is causing lots of legal issues, a unilateral do not resuscitate order. Where now families are starting to get into, well, who makes the decision for do not resuscitate, not just with children in neonatal intensive care units that are, of course, very, very young, usually anywhere from, well, they could be from 20 weeks up through, like Violet was, 38 weeks. So that's one area that seems to be coming up now legally, who has really the authority, and this gets into some legal issues. The other thing that there's another article that came up about, I know this is off the record here, well, not really off the record, but different, and people who donate, men who donate their sperm right now, in terms of laws here in the United States, probably will no longer become anonymous. That this can become public because some children are interested in finding out, well, who is my daddy? To go back to I can't think of the country singer song, and he wrote a song called "Who's Your Daddy." So that's another thing that's coming up. In the United States here, it's interesting that they want to turn to legal abortion for men, but they're not so sure about that right now in terms of the law. Why limit abortion rights to women? So that there is a Swedish group and an American group who have aligned themselves with that men may be given the right to abort responsibility for their unborn child. Well, of course, here in the United States, that happens already. And then there's one that I think people have to be really tuned into, and it's a bit complicated, but I'm going to kind of spell it out here. It's called CRISPR. CRISPR, that's called genetic editing. Genetic editing. That simply means, we know what editing is, newspaper. You read it, you look at it, what you don't like, you take out, what you like, you put in. And that's the same thing with genetics. What they don't like in the gene pool, they take out. What they like, they put back in. They're still working on this. Of course, it's in the very early stage of genetic manipulation. But there are several doctors now that are coming out saying this is going to lead to designer babies, which, of course, I can make the case. We're already there, especially in terms of eye color, IQ, and other things. But it's the CRISPR is there. It's a long acronym, but it is gene editing. So these are some things that are interesting. And the last question, the last thing, just to let your people know what is happening out there in the field of bioethics that may cause them to have another cup of coffee, and that is, and to do a lot of praying this week, certainly in Holy Week, is that, and this is a pretty, I guess you might say, any gross or weird or just disgusting, and that is where they're thinking about, they do this in the UK now, here in the United States, they're thinking about the harvesting of organs from babies with quote-unquote lethal defects like cystic fibrosis, Downs, Huntington's, and other things that they find out genetically that these babies have, which of course results in the death of the child. And if you're a Peter Singer person, who is the professor at Princeton, he's very popular in the circuits of mainstream bioethics. He believes that if you have a child with a quote unquote a defect, that is to him it wouldn't be normal. To us, it's still a child of God, a creature of God. Then he says you take that child and you set it aside and let it die. And it's more important to have a child that's more perfect. So. These are some of the rather varied topics that are happening this week in the field and ongoing in the field of bioethics and genetics. So, and in Holy Week, whoa, I mean, yeah. This is the kind of stuff I run into, Andy.
It seems that many, if not all of the topics are surrounding the issue of procreation and children.
Yeah, they always do, and especially this designer thing, and I know we've talked a little bit about this in the past, but this CRISPR thing is rather new. I've seen it in the journal Science and Nature that I read. It's up on the news, and there may be some of your listeners who are familiar with it in terms of not necessarily the long technical name of what CRISPR identifies itself with, but when you're dealing with children and you see, you know, your granddaughter, we had one granddaughter, one grandson actually that died in utero, was about 19, 20 or 20 weeks old, and with my older daughter, Andrea, who is a physician and is in the, and delivers babies in OBGYN down in Carbondale. These are things that really strike home to you when you read these kinds of things. And for our listeners, especially in Holy Week, this to me is the connection from Christmas to Easter. Frequently, these two biblical stories of how God took on human flesh and came to seek and to save the lost, like in Luke 5, you know, when he's talking to the Pharisees, and of course he can read their mind, you know, and he says, you know. You people just don't get the picture. The physician isn't for the healthy, it's for the sick. And, of course, we're talking about righteousness in Christ. And I think that all of our listeners need to remind ourselves that there is the connection and not a disconnect, but how God exhibits in the flesh with Christ his solidarity with his people when he took on human flesh and then gave up his life and rose to the forgiveness of our sins.
You know, that brings me to something last night. Did you happen to see the on Fox TV the Passion hosted by?
No, I did not see it last night. I was checking out on the baby, the new baby.
Oh yeah. Well, and I should, I forgot to say congratulations, Grandpa.
Oh, that's okay. you're recovering from some sort of a. Something. Yeah. You and your family.
Yeah, the whole family got this bug.
Right. Yeah.
It's like some sort of super bug or something that goes around.
Yeah.
I get sick occasionally, but this one was, wow, this was a doozy.
Well, we always need to be praying for you, too, because you do a lot of hard work. But anyway, I did not see the movie last night.
It was not really a movie. It was a live event. I believe portions of it were recorded. I think that the dramatic portions of it were recorded, but it was narrated. They told the passion.
Okay.
But the drama was actually set in modern day. But the narrator referred to the actual text. He didn't quote the actual text, but he referred to it, as an actual historical event. And they actually referred to Jesus and his sacrifice that paid for the sins, for all our sins. Now, the interesting thing is, there were two things that I thought were significant. One was that they certainly did identify that Jesus is the one who made this sacrifice to pay for our sins, for the sins of everyone, which you don't hear on TV, on network TV a lot.
No.
Which was I was quite impressed by that. But they did leave out, and I think it was quite intentionally, they didn't identify or define what sin is. they left that out. Because, that's not socially acceptable to point out what sin is. So we left that out. And then I thought it was interesting. The host referred to Jesus as having faith in his Father, and that was why he trusted God and made that sacrifice. And I thought, does Jesus have faith? He is God. He is God. He doesn't have faith. And so if Jesus has faith, then that means he's merely human and not truly God.
Yes. Oh, very good.
So
yeah, go ahead.
Well, so that made me ask the question: Did they believe that he was only human and not truly God?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I heard the gentleman, I can't think of his name, who either narrated it. Mm-hmm. Was he a singer?
He's a producer and actor. Is it Tyler Perry, I think?
Yeah, yes. Well, I don't know if it was Tyler Perry. I can't recall.
Yes, it's Tyler Perry.
Yes, yes. And I mean, he's a Christian man. He's from Chicago, Illinois. And like so many actors began, working in the streets, car garage, pumping gas and things like that, but he is a Christian man. But it's interesting you mentioned that about faith, because you are right. If they say, well, he had to have faith in his Father, it makes it like if he didn't have it, none of this would happen.
Yeah, it raised a big question for me. But that they certainly were very clear that Jesus' death paid for the sins of everyone. And unfortunately, now we're all out of time, now that we're right in the heart of the topic.
That's good.
Well, Dr. Weiss, Bob, have a great, a blessed Holy Week, especially as I know you are serving saints there in Illinois to bring them, lead them through this Holy Week. God's blessings on this Holy Week for you and those you serve.
And to you and your listeners. Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today we'll head to Concord, California. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.